This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's April 7th, episode 886, brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Monday.
Monday is my favorite time of year.
This is Horses in the Morning with your lovable hosts, Jamie Jennings.
I am the queen. You listen to me.
I'm sorry that people are so jealous of me, but I can't help it that I'm popular.
Glenn the Geek.
You look especially radiant today, Your Grace.
I'm going to do a terrific show today because I'm good enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Happy Monday.
So, actually, over the weekend, I was watching television, and I recorded it and finally started watching the movie Brave. And at one point in the movie, the woman goes, "I am the queen. You listen to me." I'm like, "Oh, my God. I recognize that."
Is that where that came from?
Yeah, I'm assuming because it sounded exactly the same. So, yeah, I got a kick out of that when I was watching the movie. Anyway, good Monday morning to you guys. Thanks for joining us. It's kind of a tough Monday morning at times. You know, certain things happen over the weekend, and we're going to get into those. But I woke up this morning, and I was really, really sad. Veteran film actor Mickey Rooney has passed away at the age of 93. Now, for those of you who don't know who Mickey Rooney is, well, you must be 12, because Mickey Rooney has been acting in movies since like the 1920s. And what he was in that really touched my heart was he's Henry Daly in the Black Stallion movies. And he was old at the time, and it was in the 80s or 70s or 80s when that movie was. And he was old then, and he was this grumpy, gruff trainer, if you've read any of the Black Stallion books. And he's Henry Daly, and he was also starred alongside Elizabeth Taylor in National Velvet. So, classic horse movie actor.
And for those of us that were not horse people when we were growing up, he also starred in It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Oh, really?
Which was one of my favorite movies from the 1960s, actually.
Wow. Well, yeah. He also, in horse movies, he was in Lightning the White Stallion, which, I mean, come on. That's Lightning the White Stallion. Love that one. He was in the movie Lost Stallions, The Journey Home. Also, for those who still don't get it, what's the movie of the Smithsonian movie with where all the stuff comes to life at midnight?
Oh, the museum movie. Can't remember
Night
the name.
Night at the Museum.
Night
at the Museum,
yep.
Yes. So he was the salty, smaller guy who beat up, what's his name? So he was in that movie, too. So he's still, even though he's 93, he's still acting, you know, up until he passed away. And reading stuff about him, really interesting guy, you know. He was in the Army, enlisted in the Army in 1944, obviously, with the war stuff going on. But he ended up entertaining the troops. And he ended up getting a Bronze Star Medal for entertaining the troops in combat zones. So really cool guy. Got the Good Conduct Medal, American Campaign Medal, European, African, Middle Eastern Campaign Medal, World War II Victory Medal. He was very well decorated. And then I read about his personal life. Did you know that Mickey Rooney was married 8 times?
Was it 8? I knew it was a lot. I didn't know it was 8. A lot of times.
I mean, wow. This dude is 5'3", okay? He is my height. 5'3", that's why he played jockeys in every freaking movie. But he was 5'3". He married Ava Gardner, who was like 6 feet tall. He ended up, at the end of it, He had 9 children, 8 wives, 9 children, 19 grandchildren, and the article goes on to just say several great-grandchildren. They don't even have a count of how many great-grandchildren Mickey Rooney has.
You know, when you look at his IMDb, which is the movie database, and you go on there, most actors will have credits as what, you know, credits, how many TV shows and movies they've been in. We'll be in the 20, 30, you know, good actors will be in the 40 to 50 range. Mickey Rooney has 340 credits. 340 TV shows and movies that he had been in. He worked right up to the end. He was 93 years old, and he was still – in 2011, he did 4 shows.
He was in The Muppets.
Yeah, that's right. You're right. Yep. It was just incredible, the amount. Now, he was a regular. He was one of Johnny Carson's favorites on The Tonight Show, so he used to appear on The Tonight Show all the time. Yeah, he was good on The Tonight Show. Yeah.
Just an amazing dude, and just – so interesting. He actually really, I didn't even know this until reading it. In 1979, when he was Henry Daly in The Black Stallion, he was nominated for an Academy Award for that role. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
He was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for playing Henry in The Black Stallion. I didn't know that, and he sadly did not win, but he actually has a couple Oscars. He got the Lifetime Achievement kind of award for Oscars, and so a couple different things, and that was in like the 80s they gave him that. He just kept going.
He also played in that TV show, what was it called, the Black Stallion TV show that was on in the 90s. He played Henry Daly in that too.
Yeah.
What the heck was that called? Oh, The New Adventures of the Black Stallion. That's what it was.
I was going to say The Black Stallion. But I think it's I think it's a sad day in Hollywood, and I definitely will be watching The Tonight Show tonight, because Jimmy Fallon always honors those who were Carson's favorites. So I'm sure I'll have something to say about it. But I just, when I read that this story this morning, I was, you know, it was like a punch to the gut. And we're going to talk a little bit more about some sad news that happened this weekend as well, which we just, you know, sadly have to. But let's go to Jennifer. What's coming up on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, the road to the Triple Crown is now open. And today we will take our first stab at picking the horse to cheer for come the first Saturday in May 2014. And then next up, Dr. Gordon Chang tackles pathogens and parasites. Sure to be an interesting conversation, because who doesn't love talking about parasites first thing on a Monday morning? And in the final entry in today's Monday Morning Grand Prix, the Wacky World of Horses puts in a double clear round, so stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And before we get to the Daily Winnies, just to touch on some really sad news that happened at the Fork this past weekend, which is a horse trial where they have run up to 3 stars. Andrew McConnon and a horse named Powderhound, also known as Carlos, sadly went and did show jumping. They walked him back to the barns, and he collapsed in the barns. Andrew was actually on him when he fell, but Andrew was not injured in the fall. And Carlos was a 15-year-old Australian sport horse gelding. It was his first 2-star that weekend, and sadly he passed away after show jumping. And then Will Coleman and his horse Conair, they had a fall at one of the jumps. The horse got up and started to run back to the barn. They caught him. They took him over to the vets to get him examined, and he then collapsed as well and died right after that. And Will Coleman, after that fall, ended up with a broken collarbone. And, you know, just makes you want to pat your ponies on the nose and just every day tell them how much you love them. He said on his Facebook page, this is from Will Coleman's Facebook page, he said, "I just want to thank everyone for their support. I'm sorry I don't have more to say right now. Today's events have been hard for me to swallow, and my sadness is overwhelming me at this moment. I'm truly numb and will miss Joe dearly. Forgive me for not being more reflective than that at the moment, but thank you again for the kind words and thoughts." And I, this gets me a little choked up, because you know, these horses love their job. They love what they do, and these riders love their horses, and to have something like this happen has just got to be incredibly heartbreaking, be it your backyard pony or your two-star event horse. It's no easier to swallow any way you do it. So our thoughts and prayers go out to Andrew and to Will for such a sad weekend. So anyway, let's move on. Just wanted to touch on that. Let's go to Daily Winnies.
Well, on a happier note, I have some birthday wishes today. And to two of our listeners, Sarah Allen and Robin Marshall, happy birthday to you both. And also to Gloria Austin, who I'll talk a little bit more about here. That's where I was at her house on Friday when I wasn't here, so we'll talk more about that a little bit later in the show. But happy birthday to all of you.
Well, I just want to tell you guys how incredibly awesome Philip Dutton is. If you didn't know already, on Friday, I gave my Daily Winnie to Philip Dutton because, you know, Boyd Martin broke his leg and can't ride all his event horses. And so Philip Dutton's like, oh, sure, I'll ride your horses. And the first time he sat on a couple of them was when he was warming up for dressage. I mean, Glenn, this guy hasn't sat on these horses ever. And he's like, oh, sure, I'll take him in a two-star, actually in the advanced division, I believe. So Philip Dutton is sitting on Trading Aces. And Trading Aces has a hard time making time with Boyd Martin. And Boyd's like, get him in there to make the time. Well, that is exactly what happened. Philip Dutton on Oscar, also known as Trading Aces, produced the only double clear round across both advanced divisions to win at the fork. Never sat on a dang horse before the horse trial, and he wins the whole freaking thing. He actually did really well with the other ones too, and actually he missed a show jump with one of Boyd's other horses. So it happens to everybody, people. He went off course. He said he was working too hard on warming up and trying to figure out the horse, that he really wasn't paying enough attention watching the course, and that's why he forgot one of the jumps with one of his other horses. So it happens to the best of them, and it also happens that...
Well, he probably rode 12 horses that day.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's amazing. They're amazing. But
now,
he won the whole freaking thing.
Well, I got to ask you if you know. So let's assume Boyd can't ride at Rolex, which is only, 2-3 weeks away, can't ride at Rolex. Now, will Philip, but he's entered the horses. Are the horses entered with the riders, or can you switch riders out?
You can, but I don't know what the rule is with qualifications. You have to have... like, the rider has to have a certain amount of qualifications of advanced horse trials kind of under their belt.
Well, you would
and
assume
then,
Philip would if he...
Right.
Took,
and then
ride.
The horses
yeah.
have to. And I don't know what the deal is with horse and rider together. I don't know what the catch ride at Rolex rule is.
Well,
you wouldn't
plus,
think it would come up, but, you know, it does.
It's a selection trial for the World Equestrian Games. So, you know, I don't know how that changes things, too.
It doesn't change the rules. It's
that
is
right.
what it is. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if I'll have to go to the USEA website and start pouring through the rule books. But you just wouldn't think that, oh, can I catch ride these horses at Rolex would be a problem. Who does that? What? Philip Dunn does that on Boyd Martin's horses. So we'll see. I don't know what the rule is. We'll have to find out.
Speaking of riding, I hear Jet has a new career.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, seriously.
Now, let's remind everybody who Jet is. Jet is the thoroughbred that Jamie rescued, and he started out as trying to have an eventing career. It was a bit challenging at times, in the dressage ring and in various times. But you may have found something he really likes to do.
Oh, my God, it was a challenge every time, Glenn. You're, like, brushing under
nice.
The rug. The fact that this horse is, like, I would go down to ride him to, you know, just to get down to cross country would take forever, and I'd have to have somebody go with me because he would just spin and buck and try to run back to the bottom. He was a total disaster many times. Now, the more horse trials I did and I stuck with it, the better he got. But he still usually was that horse, and I'm using finger air quotes, you know, that horse in the warm-up where he was kind of crazy and really tense. Okay, so he hasn't done anything since November, and neither have I really, and we haven't even jumped that much since November, and so the opportunity came to go to this little jumper show that was about an hour from my house, and one of my students wanted to go with her horse, so I said, okay, we'll throw Jet in the trailer and we'll go. Well, I get there, holy smokes, this is the job that this horse needs. I get him out of the trailer. He looks around, he sniffs, he starts eating his hay. I have to buy a pen because he doesn't tie to the trailer. So I rented a pen, and he stood in the stall by himself there next to the arena, horses cantering around, and just no big deal. I get on him to warm him up. I'm kicking him to keep him going, okay? Kicking him. And Chad is like, what horse is this? I'm like, I don't know. He's so calm. He was like the calmest, brokest horse in the warm-up, okay? We go to do our show, our jump. Now, mind you, this is jumpers. You have to go relatively fast. My horse is way too slow to even be competitive. He cantered around there like it was a hunter course. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. There's water trucks going by, you know, but it was so much calmer at this place than at a 3-day event or a horse trial with horses galloping around on cross country, you know, bless Avenger's heart, you know, it happens, Glenn, where there are riderless horses
yep.
always galloping back to the barn.
And yep.
It's a constant thing. It did not happen at this one. There are horses that Jet actually is the kind of, he's the horse at these horse trials that when you're waiting at the end gate, he doesn't stand still. So you have to like walk circles constantly. He's like a shark. If he stops moving, he's going to drown. This horse fell asleep at the end gate, Glenn, with me sitting on him.
What?
While horses were, yes. He fell asleep at the end gate while horses were doing their jump courses in front of him. I ended up not wanting to wait till the 3-foot jumper, so we just did the 2-9 jumpers, and we did all the 2-9 classes, and we took second and third, because there's always that little girl on that pony that is galloping fast around the whole thing.
Yes.
I think it was a pink horse that won the whole thing. I didn't feel like – Jet was so relaxed that I was like, forget, I'm not going to push him. This is great. I don't care if I win a thing. This is the best, most positive experience I've ever had on this horse at a horse show. And if you saw the picture, he's not over jumping anything. He's just, I posted the picture on Facebook, and I'll put it on our Horses in the Morning page. He went out there, and it was like an old campaigner.
I love the concentration on his face in that picture. He was just focused.
The only thing he did wrong was, you know, they have the judges in eventing are usually like either in the dressage right at the end of the arena, or they're off way up to the side in show jumping. You don't even see them. Well, in the, you know, hunter jumper rings, there's like a box next to the arena, and there's a judge in that box who, this guy was the announcer, was the judge, was like, he did everything. And so at the end, he's like, come over, let me talk to you, because apparently I didn't wait for the whistle in jumpers. I didn't know. I never showed jumpers. I just big said go, and I went in, and I did the course. I'd done hunters forever when I was growing up. So he's like, come over here for a second. I'm like, I'm in trouble. So I go over there, and he starts to talk to me. Well, Jet did not see him in the black box, and he stood up to lean over to talk to me, and Jet spun like you would have lit his foot on fire, and he spun around so fast, I almost fell off. And I'm hanging on the side of this horse, and while the judge continues to talk to me, and here I am like, I'm going to fall off standing still. This is going to be the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Just, I get through the whole dang course. My horse is calmer than he's ever been, and he spooks at the judge. And of course, later the judge comes up and goes, I don't think he knew I was in there. I'm like, you think? I feel like you scared the hell out of him. But anyway, we did all these jump courses. I think my horse wants to be a hunter. I mean, he was as calm as he's ever been. He was calmer at that horse show than he is at home. I couldn't believe it.
Now, I do have a question. This was the same horse that he had the stomach trouble with, right? And the ulcers,
yes,
and all that stuff. You think that, obviously, you've gotten those somewhat under control now. Do you think that that might have been an issue when you were showing him before, that just that thing could have been an issue?
I think so, Glenn. I mean, obviously, when a horse is in pain, they're going to act up. But, you know, we've treated the ulcers twice. I did a whole ulcer treatment before I even competed him, and he's always been crazy. And that, you know, and then this past time, you're right. The other thing that we found out, you know, because he's been touch and go since November. You guys remember in the beginning of November, I had to pull him up at Galway. He was colicky and all this. And we did the ulcer treatment. I've done, like, you know, all these gut conditioners and all this stuff. And now we've got him on some thyroid, just simple Thyro-L. It has really helped him pick up some attitude and some weight. And I really think that leveling out the thyroid has helped him maintain some weight, and he's putting on weight after he lost a bunch of it in November. And so, you know, I think all of these things together, and I'm sure that that helped Glenn, but the whole environment at a hunter show is so much, just even for me, less stressful.
It's just relaxing.
Than an event.
Just
hang out, wait.
There's always the hurry
up
and wait. But there's, by God, I sat on that horse for like 3 hours at a horse show. You know how exhausting hunter shows are, which is why I won't become a hunter, because it's tedious and takes forever and you stand around forever. But that seemed to suit Jet very, very well. So I think I'm going to do a couple more of these with him and see if it was a fluke or whether that's just, you know, you can't make a horse do things they don't want to do. But if you can find a job that they're happy and comfortable doing, then that's what they're supposed to do. I'm not going to tell Jet that he's going to be a training level event horse if clearly he doesn't want to be. And that's, you know, that's the whole thing. When you take an off the track thoroughbred, you get a rescue, you try to find what they're best at. And if that's what he's best at, then that's what he needs to do. And I don't need to put the screws to him and gallop him cross country if he's going to blow up with ulcers every single time I do and try to kill me. So we'll see. I'm going to do another one next month and we'll see what I end up with.
Now, he's a guy, so I just want to throw this out. You're blaming cross country. I think it was dressage that he got set up.
Exactly.
that's what I thought is, but
that's
I could be wrong.
Probably.
Well, that's great.
Been.
I'm glad to hear that. Good for him.
Yeah, it was
good
great. Very fun.
Good for him. Well, I was off on, that deserves that.
Thanks.
After the battles you've had with that horse.
Friday? You didn't.
Yeah,
secret. You didn't tell me.
Well, Wendy and I met at a place called Grand Oaks, which is above Orlando, south of Ocala, between Ocala and Orlando. It's a beautiful equestrian facility with hundreds of acres, and it's just a beautiful place, as you can see by the videos that we posted. But the lady who used to own it and has sold it recently, her name is Gloria Austin. Gloria Austin, we went down there actually to do we did an Equestrian Legends interview with her because she's a legend in the driving world. She is one of the very few four-in-hand, I mean driving four horses at the same time, women drivers in the world that has done what she's done. She said she has driven four-in-hands in 22 countries, and she has driven, I think she said, 16 or 17 different breeds of four-in-hands. And she's this little 72-year-old lady who is as sweet as could be, and she owns a property right beside Grand Oaks and has the rights to drive at Grand Oaks. So the videos that we posted on Friday at Horses in the Morning, we were driving at this Grand Oaks Resort, which is just stunningly beautiful. And so we get there, and she had just gotten these Spanish PRE horses. You would have loved them. Spanish PRE horses that she had gotten. We had David Saunders on talking about shopping for them in Spain. And so she got these horses about 7-8 months ago, I think, Well, they are so well trained now. David, her coachman, has done a wonderful job. David Saunders is her full time coachman, and he used to be the coachman for the Queen and for Prince Philip. We've had him on the show before. So he was there, and then they had another groom there. Well, Wendy and I went, and they said, well, we're going to take you on a ride around on the carriage. Well, that was so cool, by the way. These horses are so well-trained, and I sat up in the box, it's called, up on the seat beside the driver, which was Gloria. And then the other three sat in the back of the carriage. Well, as we were going around, we were chatting and everything, and then David Saunders says, I want to show you how well broke these horses are. You're going to drive. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm not going to drive these beautiful four horses. And you sit really high up. I'm not used to that either. I'm used to ponies, you know. You sit really high up in these carriages, and you were looking down at the horses. And he said, yeah, this will be no problem. I said, I've only driven one four-in-hand of ponies for 20 minutes. And I said, I've never driven a four-in-hand of horses like this. And these were just stunningly beautiful horses. And he said, no, you can do it. I said, I'm going to have you guys sign a release because I'm not responsible if I wreck this thing. So he got up there with me, and David is such a good teacher. You could tell he's been a coachman for a lot of years. And when you're driving four horses like that, you have four reins in one hand. You have four reins in one hand, and then basically you're holding the reins with that hand, and you're using your other hand to take two reins at a time to steer them or slow them down or whatever. You take the reins that you need to do whatever you need to do with the other hand. Now, you're also supposed to be holding a whip at the same time. I didn't hold the whip. David said, that's going to be too much. Do not hold the whip. But I did it. I walked, trotted. It was such a cool experience. The one thing, Jamie, I think you'll appreciate was when I was a passenger watching Gloria, she kept correcting each individual horse. She would make little corrections, but I didn't really get why. I didn't see what the horses were doing wrong, you know. As a passenger, I just didn't get, you know, the fine-tuned things that she was doing as we were driving along, mostly at a trot.
It's like dressage, yeah.
Exactly. I didn't see it, though. When I was done driving, I said to David, now I see, because I was then really concentrating on what all the horses were doing. I was seeing them, the you know, one of them push out and you'd have to bring them back in. Or, you know, individually, when I was driving, I saw things that I didn't see at all when I was sitting in the passenger seat. So that was kind of a revelation to me. I got, and David said, now when you sit in the passenger seat again, you're going to see those little things, but you only see them when you drive for the first time and you start to really get a handle on what the horses are doing with the reins. And that was so cool. That was really an eye opener for me. And then, so I drove for a little while. I mostly walked and I trotted for a little bit. And then he said, Wendy, your turn. Now, Wendy is driven four in hands of competition, but they hold the reins differently. They hold them in two hands. They hold two in each hand. When you're doing coach driving like we were doing, when you're doing that coach driving, you hold them in one hand. It's a different style of driving. So Wendy wasn't used to that. So she actually ran them off the road. I didn't do that. But I can honestly say I didn't do that. Wendy ran him off the road, but then she got the hang of it in about 2 minutes, and she was fine and drove him the rest of the way. But the smile on her face, and you saw the video I posted of Wendy driving, she was so happy. She was happy to drive a four again. It's been a while. So, yeah, and they were, you know, what a classy four to drive. Some
right.
Really cool horses. That was so cool. And then what we did is we did the Equestrian Legends interview with her, which will go up here shortly. But we then headed down, and she is one of the largest owners, and she has one of the largest carriage collections in the world that she has bought and accumulated. Get this, Jamie. She has 170 carriages.
Oh, my gosh.
And they are in a museum at Grand Oaks. You can go there and see these carriages. It's a beautiful
museum.
She has
her own museum?
Yes, for these carriages.
Oh, my gosh.
And she was doing a tour for a college class. The Central Florida University has a college class on equestrian studies, and she was doing a tour of the museum and was talking about the history of the carriages and where she got them. It was a two-hour tour, so Wendy and I went along to hear this. An absolutely amazing woman who probably knows more about the history of horses and how they worked through the years than anybody I've ever seen. She knew the story behind all 170 of those carriages. You know those big coaches that you see where there's 12 people sitting on top, and you see them at some shows and things where they're really showing off, and they bring out the big coaches pulled by four horses? Well, those run at Martin's auction. They'll run $100,000 to $200,000 when they go through. She has at least 20 to 25 of those coaches. Just unbelievable. She has one of the only royal coach, royal state coach, the kind you would see in the parades when they're getting married in England. This was an Austrian version that she had restored. She found it in a barn in on the West Coast. It was in absolutely deplorable shape. It had been used in the movies. She sent it back to Austria to get it restored with all its gold leaf and everything, had it shipped back here, and it's on display there with six horses as it would have been pulled. And it was owned by an Austrian king in like 1850. It is stunning. I mean, just some stunning carriages. She had military vehicles. Just the museum is, if you're ever in that area, if you're ever in the Orlando area, take a ride up and you're interested in carriages at all, you have to see this. It's one of the largest collections out there. And it just was a fun, fun day for, if you're a carriage driver into it at all, you know, Wendy and I just had a blast. We had a great time. And she was very nice to us, served us lunch, and just was such a good host.
Were you on your best behavior? Were you?
I was good. Yes, I was good. I didn't wreck the horses. Wendy's the one that drove them off the road. I was good.
Those Spanish horses are gorgeous.
Aren't they beautiful?
Were they Andalusians?
They're PREs, which is a sort of a
Pureza is what it's. Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that like a combination of?
Well, in the Andalusians, in the Andalusian world, that's a type of bloodline of
right.
The Andalusians. The PRE is a pure raza. Española is a white girl way of saying it, I guess.
if you look at the video of when Wendy was driving, there's one that almost looks pink. The one in the front right almost looks pink, and that horse when it gets wet does look pink. I mean,
wow.
And she said everybody calls it the pink one. And then there's the dapples on some of those Andalusians are just incredible. I mean, it looks like they were painted. You know, they really are. Now I see why you liked them so much. I have a new appreciation for them. They were so calm, and they were so good to work with. I understand now. I get it. Get it.
I'll have one one of these days.
She has one for sale. Oh, I thought of you because one of the ones she brought six back, and there's one for sale that wasn't turning out to be a great driving horse, but she said it's a wonderful riding and jumping horse and would make a great eventer. So she does have one for sale, and it is so dappled. It literally looks like it was painted. It is
now,
so
are you talking about the Spanish horses? Because you're lying to me because nobody has ever said that a Spanish horse would make a good event horse.
Oh, she knows her stuff, and she said this would be a good eventer. I need somebody that's going to be an eventer with this horse.
Okay, send it to me. I want it.
You want me to ask how much? I can write to her and ask how much she wants.
I'm sure that somebody like her just wants to find it a good home.
Oh, yeah. I'll say I found it a good home. For the right for
$12,
she can take it for $12. So there, I found your horse for you.
Okay, sounds good. Sounds good. Well, I appreciate it. Here you go. Tell her I'll trade her Jet. He apparently wants to go be a good old calm driving horse.
All right, that's my story. That's where I was on Friday. But I did listen to part of the show on Friday on my way home. You sounded good. You guys were having some fun, and you got your cat problems all fixed. But I want to ask you about that later. Let's go to Dr. Gordon Chang first.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Chang.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, as you do about this time every month, and talk to us about what is pretty much wrong with our horses and make me paranoid and make me buy more things from you, which is great because clearly if something's wrong, we need to fix it. And we're going to talk a little bit today about parasites, which, you know, on a Monday morning, who doesn't want to talk about parasites?
Parasites and pathogens. But before we even start there, you know, somebody had asked somebody in here, what's the biggest problem with horses today? All right, and my person here said, well, is actually the owners. The fact that they have owners.
Good answer.
That's the biggest problem with horses.
I was thinking, I'm like, okay, well, they buck, they bite, they take. No, you're right. It's the owners.
It's owners. But you know what? Without owners, these horses probably won't have a cushy life as they do, as some people think they have. But they don't always have cushy lives, you know? They'll have issues like everybody else.
Yeah.
But anyway, pathogens and parasites. You know, and people, when you think of pathogens and parasites, the first thing you think of is your tapeworms, your hookworms, etc. That's your parasites. And then you think of pathogens, you think of the bacteria. So you think of different types of bacteria and viruses that your horse will encounter. Now, I will say there are many different routes of entry for parasites and also for pathogens like your viruses, etc. The routes of entry for viruses, I mean, you can get it breathing it in, you can get it in cuts, you can get it orally through the gut. The ones that we can really, really control the best are the ones that come through the gut. Now, before we even go down that road, I want to talk a little bit about maintaining the immune system. Because if you have an immune system that's functioning properly, that's up, that's prepared,
strong.
Right?
Yeah.
You will have a horse that's a lot more resistant to invasion by viruses, also by parasites, and also by bacteria. Now, so one of the things I always suggest to people is that it's one of the most overlooked things: boost your immune system. Boost the immune system. It's like I would say taking a multivite every day just to help you boost that immune system, just to help make sure you have everything under the belt, like your vitamins and your minerals under your belt, just so that your horse is in tip-top shape. It's like a little bit extra for your horse. Right?
Well, you know what, Dr. Chang, boosting your immune system has now become like a multi-billion-dollar industry. Just go to Walmart and walk to the vitamin aisle, and you'll see Airborne and vitamin C packs and a million different ways for humans to boost their immune system. Why wouldn't we do that to our horse, too?
That's
it makes
right.
total sense.
Especially if you're doing a lot of traveling with your horses, because you take them to this show, that show, and they meet a whole bunch of different horses. Whatever these other horses have, your horse will get. But if the immune system is boosted, it may or may not get it as bad, or it may just ward it off, right? And there are so many different ways of boosting the immune system too, right? I mean, you can boost the immune system by making sure it has an adequate supply of different vitamins and minerals. But there are also herbs and so on, which when you give to your horse, what they actually do, they'll actually activate white blood cells. It will make your white blood cell, what they call natural killer cells, much more active. So that it will respond a lot quicker to different types of viruses and bacteria that get into contact with the horse, right? So it's a good thing to boost the immune system. Now, let's talk a little bit about the other pathogens, the route of entry via the stomach and the small intestine, large intestine, etc. Now, not all bacteria are bad. Because if you go into the gut, there's a whole whack of bacteria that lives down there. And the reason it lives down there is because whatever waste products those bacteria produce, they actually, some of them may be beneficial to the animal, and some of them actually are innocuous, meaning that the horse doesn't respond as much. However, there's a whole bunch of what we call the bad bacteria that cause major problems with the horse. Now, God invented the stomach with lots of acid in it. And what that acid does, it inhibits the entry of a lot of parasites, so your worms and so on. It inhibits the entry of even the eggs. It inhibits the entry of the bad bacteria into the gut, and it keeps the numbers down. So if you have the acids working properly, then you have the immune system working properly, you will keep your horse under control, meaning that the bacteria and so on and the parasites under control, right? Now, to be fair, every so often you get a whole dose of it coming down the pipes that overwhelms the whole system, and that's when you get an infection or you get a parasitic infection, all right? Now, the reason these parasites and these bacteria are bad is because when they produce waste products, these waste products affect the body in ways which, how the body responds to some of these things is that they're like poisons. So what happens is the body responds to poisons by showing things like an infection response, so an inflammatory response, so you see swelling, right? General malaise, meaning that they just look feeling down and out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the key here is prevention, right? Now, one of the problems that horses have a lot of is ulcers. And one of the biggest treatments out there is omeprazole, okay? Now, the problem with omeprazole, with ulcers, short-term pain, short-term acute use, fantastic. It helps control the acid production, and it minimizes acid production, and thereby allowing the ulcers to heal. But some people use it on a long-term basis, so it goes on and on and on, day in, day out. Well, the problem with that is that because you inhibit the acid production, every single bad bacteria known to man gets in there, right? And infest the lower small intestine, or a whole bunch of parasites. Normally, if you only get two going through, all of a sudden you're getting 50 going through, right? So again, you can see your parasite infection rates go up just because of the lack of acid production.
Right, because it's not getting killed in the stomach acid.
That's right. So anything that affects stomach acid production will, in the long term, cause other problems later on, right? Now, to be fair, I was going to say there are many different ways of treating this, right? One of them is with probiotics, because basically what you do with probiotics are what we call the good bacteria. So you put the good bacteria into the gut, and what that will do, that will compete with the bad bacteria coming in, so then that it'll help keep the bad bacteria out. So basically, if you think of your lawn, you have good grass seed all the time, and the lawn is full, right? Meaning there's a nice thick lawn of good grass. So even if you have weeds coming in, which is your bad bacteria, they have a hard time finding a foothold. And because they have a hard time finding a foothold, you minimize the bad things done by the weeds, right? So in this case, you minimize your ability of the horse to have to implant any of these bad bacteria, to implant down in the gut, right? The parasites, too, again, the same idea. If you keep a nice, good lawn, right, the parasites have a harder time. But parasites being much bigger, sometimes they can overwhelm the flora that's right on the surface and get into the actual tissue itself, where it basically clamps on and sucks nutrients out, right, and pumps other things in. Right, and those are the things that cause the different issues. So with parasites, right, there you have to do, for want of a better way of saying, a deworming. Right. However, the problem with dewormers today, they've been around for so long that a lot of the common parasites that you find, they're not affected by a lot of these dewormers.
They're
getting
to a lot
resistant
of it.
To deworming. Right. So what you need to do is to try different types of dewormers. We have a very good one called Para-X, and basically what it is, it's a wide spectrum herbal dewormer. It takes a little bit of time to use. It's not a one shot, and the only reason it's not a one shot is because what we would like to do is to kill off the adults at the first pass, and then we wait 5 days to allow whatever eggs there are to hatch. And then the second pass will help get rid of the larva and so on. And the reason you want to do that is because eggs are very resistant to being killed, right? So so you need to actually get them to hatch, right? Now, even after you've done all those things, here's the problem. Your horse goes out there and eats the grass again. This is where he picks up all of the eggs.
Right.
And a lot of the other parasites, et cetera. So it's a continuous battle that you have to do. You have to do it on a regular basis.
Now, this is Para-X. So the two products that you would recommend for the things we're talking about today, you talked about putting the good bacteria back in, which would be Biotic 8.
That's right.
For, And, of course, I'm a huge fan. Both my horses are on that all the time. And one gets it every couple times a week, and Jet gets it every day. And then Parax, now, see, I haven't heard of that one. And to have an herbal way to treat worms and parasites is almost revolutionary. So you guys, we recommend Omega Alpha. Go ahead, Dr. Ching.
No, I was just going to say, it's not really revolutionary using herbs to treat parasites, because that's been around a long, long time.
Right.
It's just that
here we don't use it too much.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
And we pump our horses full of chemicals and all that stuff, and most of the time it doesn't even work. So what's the product called again, and where can we get it?
Parax. And it's available in a lot of different tax stores. You can get them. If you go on our website, there's a whole list of people that carry it. It's the OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And don't forget, boost the immune system. Because especially now, it's beginning of show season. You know you're going to be trucking your horses from point A to point B, right? So, you know, a healthy horse is a successful horse. Think of it that way.
And I love that. And so you guys find these at your local tax stores. Go to Omega Alpha Equine to find out more. Now, Dr. Chang, before I let you go, I have to do some business for you, I'll get in trouble if I don't talk about this. And your people sent this on to me because they knew you would not mention it. you guys actually help people learn about your products by offering free teleseminars or web classrooms, and they're held the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. Your next webinar is April 28th, and you can find out a little bit more and take a deeper look at how pathogens and parasites affect your equine health. There's a Q&A after the webinar, and if you want to register, it's very easy. We'll put this on our Facebook page, but you just call 1-800-651-3172. Ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address and entry code. And the list of topics and dates is in the educational section of the Canada site only. So we'll make sure we link
to all of
this.
It will be on the U.S. site.
Oh, it will be on the U.S. site.
Yes.
Okay. Well, good to know then. So Omega Alpha and Dr. Chang, again, thank you for making this topic and all of these topics when you come on. Those of us who don't have the, you know, education that you have, we can understand you, and you make it make sense to us, and I really appreciate that. And if you guys want to find out more, definitely check out these webinars, because you'll learn what we learned today times 10. And Dr. Chang, thank you for always being a continued sponsor of Horses in the Morning.
Thank you, and it's been my pleasure to be here.
All right, big hugs. We'll see you. Hopefully we'll see you at Rolex maybe, right?
I'm going to try.
Oh,
yay!
Bye-bye.
All right, well, we'll see you there.
Okay, take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Yeah, I love that guy. I do. He's the best.
Well, you do understand. Even I understand it when he talks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's... And, of course, you know, their products are terrific, and we've been using them for a very long time.
I got to add to my shopping list now. Now I got to do the deworming, and I need more of the immune boost, and then the biotic aid I'm running out of. Oh, God. I should just give them a credit card and just, like, a proactive when they just send you stuff
get
every month.
Just get a monthly subscription. There you go.
Yeah. Can I please have an Omega Alpha subscription?
Yes, they should do that. They should do that.
We're going to take a break for a song right now. We're going to hear Courage in the Saddle by Bren Hill. We did an episode with him back on December 28, 2012. We did a whole episode with Bren. He actually has a new CD coming out right now, and he's going to be joining us here on the show in the next week or two to talk about that. So we'll be hearing from him about his new CD and be hearing some of that music coming up over the next couple of months. This one is Courage in the Saddle. And it is by Bren Hill.
Thank you. Creator, listen to my tale. It ain't much of a story, so you better listen well. In Southeast Oklahoma, when I was but a boy, I ran many a match race and I never wanted more. Believe that I could ride anything with hair. Then one California morning I found myself there at Los Alamitos Racecourse in 1962. Where the story starts and ends is where you find the dream comes true. Courage in the saddle, face into the wind. You ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage in the saddle. Anodyne was 10-1 in 64 on May the 9th. We were 25 large richer when she crossed the finish line. Night of races at Bay Meadows, 68 to 73. There never was a jockey who had won as much as me. We were back at Alamitos in May of 84. With thick fog down the straightaway, mud on the racetrack floor. John Critter on face in the crowd, turn left in front of me. And the bottom side of running hooves was all that I could see. Courage in the saddle, face into the wind. Ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage in the saddle. My longing for the racetrack no surgery could replace. So as a 20-year outrider, I'll finally retire from the course at Alamitos, the place I first caught fire. The years have passed right through me, I'll never be the same. And the changing times in politics, Lord, we ought to be ashamed. But we're short of field and horses, Midwest jockeys, they're all through. Where the story starts and ends is where you find the dream comes true. Courage in the saddle, face into the wind. Ride each time like you won't live again. If you're gonna ride to win, son, it's gonna be a battle. Better have a heart of steel, courage.
That was Courage in the Saddle by Bren Hill. You can find all of his music at brenhill.com. I am Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen, the whole gang here with you this morning on Horses in the Morning. And we are brought to you today by Omega Alpha Equine. Well, let's start with this. I have my tech pick of the week that we're doing here every Monday. And I have a website for you. I know there's a lot of you that listen that have your own marketing companies and equine businesses and things. And one of the things we try and track and keep track of is our statistics and our numbers. Well, one of the things that has become evident on Twitter is that there's a lot of people with a lot of followers who are just not real. So Twitter scamming has become a thing here recently in the tech community. So you'll see somebody with 100,000 followers, and about 80,000 of them are fake or are bots or just, you know, they're not active users or that kind of thing. Well, there's a way to check that now. There's actually a website called statuspeople.com that you can go on and you can put in your Twitter handle, and it will look into those Twitter accounts of everybody following you and see how often they have posted. It can see whether they're active or not. It can see whether they've engaged with you at all or responded to you or clicked on any of your links. And it can also see which ones are the fakers or the just not real accounts, the spam accounts. So I did that with ours. We have 11,000 followers on Horse Radio. And so of Twitter followers, Jamie, how many do you think are active? How many of ours do you think would be active? Actually, people who go onto Twitter, read it, and, you know, interact with Twitter, make posts, that kind of thing. What percentage?
Well, when we first started this show, I set up a Twitter account, and I never go on it. Or I'm one of those people that probably, you know, was in the numbers of like, oh, this person doesn't exist. But what amazes me is I continue to get emails saying, you've got a new follower, this person and this person and this person. And so I probably have a couple hundred followers that aren't people that I know, and that's probably all of them. So I would say out of 11,000, I would say half.
You're right. And actually, that's right. And what they're showing nationally is that
really
out of any, yeah, about 30% will with normally the average is about 30% will be active, about 60% will be inactive, just haven't been on Twitter in 100 days or so, and then the other percentage are just fake. And that fake number goes up the higher, like you get into the celebrity realm where they have 1 million, 2 million, 3 million followers and they're active on Twitter. But their followers, what they're finding with them is the higher the numbers get, the less that are real.
Really?
So, yeah. So now ours came out above average. Ours was about 50% active. So that was above average. I kind of expected that because I figured if a horse person is on there and they bother to take the time to do it, there's going to be people like you, that's about 30%, who just don't do anything and never checked it again. But if you're on there and you're doing some posting, you're going to be active. You're a horse person that put some effort into it. We're going to have a higher percentage is what I thought, and that was true. Now, what does this all mean? Well, it probably means something to people who have larger numbers who are trying to sell advertisers and things like that, where they're putting posts up for advertisers. For, you know, for once an hour range, it's just an interesting statistic. But it
right.
is also kind of depressing when you take a look at it. You think,
well,
oh, I got it.
What type of loser-ass people do this for a living? It's crazy. I mean, they like, oh, I'm going to be a fake Twitter. Who does that?
You can pay, there are companies out there, you can pay a company to sign up Twitter followers for you. And they have these legions of people, all with different names, and they'll just go through and they sign up as your follower. You can pay and you can buy them on eBay, and you buy them by the thousand. So you pay them a certain amount of money, and but in the next week you're going to have 1,000 new followers.
Now, is there a way, excuse me for not knowing Twitter, but is there a way to make people not follow you, like delete them? Like say I had an ex-boyfriend who was on my Twitter and I'm like tweeting all the time about how awful he is. I don't want him to see it. So can I like block him?
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I've never tried to block anybody from Twitter. You can't, you know, obviously Facebook, you have total control over that. But Twitter,
so
I don't
So I'll
know.
Just rip my ex-boyfriends on Facebook then.
That's right. That's where you want to do it. Statuspeople.com if you're curious about your Twitter account.
That's cool.
Pick of the week. You understood that one, see?
I did. I finally understood one. I don't know what it means, but I understand at least the whole idea behind it. So that's good.
If Leslie is listening now, she's going to be calling in here and doing the Wacky World of Horses with us. If she is listening now, she should go check statuspeople.com for Horse Nation and see what they have there. Before we get to Leslie, though, let's talk about we're coming up to the Kentucky Derby, and it's our time to start looking at the horses that are going to be racing and, you know, getting all excited about it. Well, I have audio for you from the Santa Anita Derby that happened over the weekend, and I have a horse that we can adopt and become our own. I finally found the one I think really works for us.
Now,
go ahead.
Did you pick this horse? Usually you pick horses because you like their name. Does this horse, the name qualify for you, or are you going off of the fact that it won the Santa Anita Derby, it's a California horse, it's got cool owners? What's the attraction?
The attraction was the story. It's got a 70, let's see here, how old is he? He's like 77-year-old trainer that's never been to the Kentucky Derby, which I thought was kind of cool. He's got an owner that has never been to the Kentucky Derby and breeders that have never been to the Kentucky Derby that are all pretty new to this. So, Sherman, the trainer's last name is Sherman, and he's 77 years old. And he's very excited about all of this, obviously. His horse went out, and the horse's name is California Chrome. So, you know, it's a cool name, but it's probably not one that I would have picked out of a lineup. But you have to hear the race. Let's take a listen to the race, and you'll see why I think we're going to be following. Oh, you know what?
Oh, no.
Let me see if I have it. Hold on. It's got to be here. I thought I uploaded it. I'm looking.
I can sing.
I will have it right after Leslie from Horse Nation, because apparently I didn't upload correctly. So I'll have it for us right after this, but first.
Horses, the ultimate frontier. These are the adventures of Horse Nation. Its weekly mission to explore strange equestrian behaviors and to exploit horse humor in the wacky world of horses.
Well, good morning, Leslie.
Man, I love that intro. That's so good.
You sound all important, doesn't it, in sci-fi.
That's right.
Well, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We are terrific, and we have to talk to you first about April Fool's Day, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you since then. And, you know, Horse Nation, and you know, takes pride in fooling people on April Fool's Day. And I got to tell you, we were included in one of those posts here at Horses in the Morning. The post you did that we were included in, where you did kind of a spoof on John taking your boss taking over the world and redoing all the magazines and everything, the artwork that was done there with the covers of those magazines was incredible. Did you do that?
I did. I'm a secret Photoshop queen.
Well, from all of us, I know we talked about it that next day. And from all of us, we congratulate you, because those were incredible. That was really good artwork.
It was a lot of fun making up. So we had, instead of practical horsemen, we had tactical horsemen. Instead of dressage today, we had dressage tomorrow. And I had so much fun making up the fake headlines, the fake stories. And then, of course, we had Horses in Mourning. The first live morning show for grieving equines. So good.
It was pretty clever. And the artwork, I'm telling you, matched fonts and everything. I was impressed.
Well, thank you.
You guys, Glenn, you're such a geek that you would notice that she matched your font.
Oh, yeah, I did right away. And even on the magazine, she matched the font. And you didn't just do the magazine. You did the whole cover was a farce. I mean, the whole thing was good. That took you hours. That had to take you hours.
Yeah, it took a long time. You know, one of my – I would love to have this is like one of my fantasy websites that I'd love to have one day, is sort of a horsey version of The Onion. So just all fake stories all the time.
You could do it, too. You could definitely do that. Well, now tell me, so did anybody believe, what else did you do for April Fool's? Did you do anything else?
Oh, we did April Fool's stories all day long because April Fool's is my favorite holiday. So, it's always, never ceases to amaze me every year how many people actually believe our fake stories. So, I think this was my favorite headline of the day, Horse Eats Checkbook Owner Shrugs. that was pretty good. Shocking report says, even the smallest horse bite can be harmful to newborn babies. Take note, Jamie.
You know what's funny with what's going on today in Connecticut and everything? I actually looked at that headline and thought, wow, she's reading the Connecticut story. And then I went in and looked at it and went, oh, okay.
Yeah, but there is a small amount of outrage on our Facebook page from one reader who did not get the irony, the joke, and was like, well, if you're, you know, dumb enough to be bringing your, you know, waving your newborn baby in front of a, you know, horse to buy. I don't know. She was outraged, and then somebody was like,
"Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I wave my newborn and infant in front of horse mouths all the time. He thinks it's hilarious to be directly in front of the horse's mouth when you feed them carrots. He laughs out loud. So I put him right up next to eating horse mouth. And
now you're going to get the letters.
I know. Bring it on. Bring it on. I don't care.
Oh, but definitely the story that the most people fell for was, so April Fool's was right, was the day after, you know, the deadline for the affordable health care that helped, you know, everybody was on healthcare.gov. And this is another pretty great Photoshopping going on. One of our writers, Lorraine Jackson, wrote a story about how affordable health care, it was called Affordable Health Care to Exclude Base Jumpers, Competitive Eaters, and Eventers.
I loved this one.
It was so good. And so basically she said, you know, due to a last-minute amendment, you know, a lot of eventers were getting sort of a pop-up question on when they were trying to get insurance, signing up for insurance through healthcare.gov that was like, do you currently earn an income by or participate as an amateur in any of the following high-risk activities? Check all that apply. Competitive eating, base jumping, and or three-day eventing. And then went on to say that, you know, if you happen to check one of those boxes, that you would another message popped up saying that you had been denied for health insurance. And you would be, I mean, I saw this shared all over Facebook, people sharing this story with angry, what do you expect from Obama, you know, kind of angry messages.
I did, and too. I did see it everywhere. And actually, once again, the artwork was good because I've mentioned this a few times. When I was trying to get through an Obamacare, it took me 8 weeks of attempting multiple times. So I became very familiar with the website, and this was really good. The colors were right. The text was right. Everything looked right. And it looked just like it did. And even the We're Sorry message that was in bright red, I could see coming up. You know, it was, it even, this one had me look twice. It really did. Because for some reason I just believed it.
You know, if you kept reading, you know, it quickly became obvious, you know. But it was amazing how many people clearly did not read the entire story, but were offended by, you know, posted it on their Facebook anyway. There was a lot of outrage in the comments.
HorseNation.com takes down the White House. Man. Yeah.
was funny.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, it's just, it always astonishes me what people will believe. You know, I know there was we had a big, a couple of years ago, I'd written a story, I guess it was a Betting Nation and Horse Nation, about how sinkholes had opened up all over the Kentucky Horse Park, and that Rolex was being canceled because, like, it had swallowed up the Bruce Davidson statue, and they were concerned for, you know, the safety of small children, and it was amazing how many people believed that. Like, I really had to write in eventually, like, a disclaimer at the very top saying, this is not for real, guys.
she had John Nicholson contacting her saying, hey, we got people calling the horse park.
Yeah. Yeah, it was that bad.
Good job. Another good April Fool's, Leslie. You did a good job. We 10 compromises you need to make as a rider. Now, this one kind of hit home for me being America's Horse Husband with some of these. This is a post that you put up last week, and it got a lot of views, and I can see why. So, you know, it starts out with, as we all know, horses are expensive and time-consuming, sometimes to the detriment of your human relationships. In order to keep your relationship healthy, you must have to find a middle ground with family and significant others. We've all dealt with this. We talk about it constantly here on the show. And some of these were really good. I like this one. If I clean the tack room, will you clean the kitchen? Well, I can tell you in our household, ask who cleans the tack room and ask who cleans the kitchen. Is it evident?
How are those duties divided?
Yes, I think everybody can guess. If I get back from the barn within an hour of when I said I would, we're good, right? Oh, God, that used to drive me nuts. Horse girls are always late because they always spend more time at the barn, and there's always a reason. And it always sounds like a semi-legitimate reason when you know darn well some of them aren't. They're made up.
Glenn,
you don't do that,
seriously,
do you,
though, horse chicks may be late, but it's not because we're it's more of a valuable reason than standing in front of the mirror getting our makeup and hair did, okay? So you could have a horse chick be late, but at least we're not just primping and making sure
but
our
the problem
clothes match.
With that scenario is you're getting in an hour late, and then you still have to take your shower and get ready. So now we're an hour and a half late.
Yeah, but horse chicks get ready quick. I can shower and be dressed in like 8 minutes. I may not look good, but by God, I can get it done.
Yeah, I usually just skip the shower part. That makes it,
right?
That's my compromise.
Why shower? It's just, why wet your hair when you don't have to? It's cold outside. I'm with you.
So that one, everybody can go on to Horse Nation and see the rest of that one. The other one, we just were talking about the Kentucky Derby, and I now have the sound file of that race that I can play. But we were just talking about the Kentucky Derby, and you were starting to get in the Kentucky Derby spirit as well.
Yeah, we are. We had a fun story this week by Heather Benson, who is sort of our racing editor, about is called Seven Horses That Weren't Supposed to Win the Kentucky Derby but Did. And she sort of counted down some of the most surprising upsets over the years, some of which, you know, I think are pretty, like, everyone knows Mind That Bird is one of the first ones that comes to mind. And also, on the side note, so excited, April 18th. I think is when it comes out, so that's so soon. I can't wait to watch it. So there was that. There was some that I'd forgotten about, and then there was some that I wasn't even familiar with the story of the horses that, you know, old 1958, 1918, and 1913. You know, these real dark horse.
Well, one of them that everybody might remember was in 2005, Kentucky Derby. Giacomo was in 2005, and he was a 50-1 also, paid $102 to win, which is just unheard of. You know, when Jamie and I play the horses and they win, we win $2.25. We on our $2 bet. When somebody else plays, they win $102. When I win a trifecta, it's always for like $40, and then the next trifecta is like $400. Just never. I've won many trifectas now in my life, and I don't think any of them has ever paid over $50.
Hey, you're winning something though. That's not a donation, is what that
that's
what the
true.
Good thing about
that's
that.
True.
Hey, one of the ones you didn't mention in this, because I love the long shots at the Derby. I just think it's always such a cool story, with Mind That Bird being the most recent one in history, you know, and memory. But there was a horse named Lily T, L-I-L-E-T-E, Lily T, who was the first Derby winner for Pat Day, the jockey Pat Day. And I believe they, let's see, what year did he run in the Derby? 1992, I think, is the year that he won the Derby. That my event horse, Jet, or my hunter horse, if you listen to the earlier show, part of the show, is a son of him. And he went off at 17-1, and he was they call him one of the biggest long shots back then. His odds actually got closer as it got. He started out at like 50-1, I think, when the odds came out, and ended up being a 17-1 long shot, the super champion horse of Rossi. He beat him in a stretch duel. It was like this awesome, awesome race, and I own a son of him, and I love the history of all the long shots.
Oh, I forgot about that horse.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Everybody else did, and they forgot about him because he threw horses like Jet, who never won anything ever. So it's all good.
I like that you have some of the videos of some of the really old ones. The Kentucky Derby 1918 was neat. There were some neat ones. That's a neat article. Well, you know, before we got you on here, we were talking about who we're going to adopt here. And if you have a minute, we have this horse, California Chrome. He won the Santa Anita Derby over the weekend. But get this story. You guys are going to love this story. And you can probably do an article on this horse. It's a neophyte owner. It's the first horse bred by these owners, Steve and Carolyn Coburn of Nevada and Perry and Denise Martin of California. The couples met through an ownership in another horse. They had 5% stake in another horse, and that's how they met. So they decided to breed their own. This is the first horse they bred. Ends up winning the Santa Anita Derby, trained by Art Sherman, who is 77 years old and has never been to the Kentucky Derby yet. So here he wins the $1 million Santa Anita Derby with this horse. That's the first time owners and breeders of that's the first horse that they've had. So let's take a listen to the race. I think you guys are going to love this. Takes a second for him to get into the gate.
And away they go in the Santa Anita Derby. California Chrome in a little tight in the beginning, and so was Candy Boy. They didn't have to check or anything, but they were in a tad tight. Dublin Up has crossed over very quickly. California Chrome is right there. And Candy Boy. So California Chrome, Candy Boy, nose and nose from the opening of the gate. School of Hard Rocks has caught four wide. Going to try to drop in now. Behind that comes Opportunity in the red colors. Gives them four length start. They're in no big hurry out on the lead. Behind that comes Big Tire, who sent along third last. Behind that comes Friends with Kay Mill, and Pretty Boy Floyd is last, but no more than six lengths would cover the lot. On to the backstretch they go, and Kent Osormo on the long shot, doubling up, trying to take them along as slow as he can. California Chrome between them now, and on the far side is Candy Boy. Now half a length separates the two favorites. Opportunities in the red color, School of Hard Rocks on the far side. Big Tire racing between them, and Friends with Kay Mill down at the rail. Pretty Boy Floyd is last still. Six lengths would cover them all. Into the turn they go now, and doubling up on the inside, and California Chrome, Candy Boy on the far side, and Opportunity now. Opportunity going well in the red. Can he find a way through down at the rail? Pretty Boy Floyd's in with a shot too. Top of the lane in the Derby. California Chrome kicks for home, and he opens up on them. and California Chrome gliding along. He's gone clear by four as they come to the eighth pole, and California Chrome is absolutely sensational. California Chrome will be carrying the hopes of California all the way to the Kentucky Derby. He waltzed home under Victor Espinosa. Opportunity got second, then Candy Boy.
He won that thing by about eight lengths. I mean,
really?
He just blew it away. He really did. He just turned it on, you know, like a certain other horse used to do coming around the last turn. He just turned it on. It was fun to watch. It is I think he's one that we're going to adopt here and keep an eye on. You know, I was wrong about the trainer, though. He had been to the Kentucky Derby as an exercise rider for the 1955 Derby winner Schwapps.
Wow.
He was an exercise rider. That's the last time he'd been to the Kentucky Derby. So it's kind of a neat story, worth following.
Glenn's got his pick.
I got
Glenn
my pick.
Now, go ahead.
There were some other great names, though, in that race, huh? there were some other cool names, but California Chrome, I'm still thinking he's the one to follow.
Now, I've got a name that I really like, and Leslie, you're gonna agree with me. And picking on name alone, there's a horse named Wicked Strong. Wicked Strong.
Wicked Strong.
I love that name. He's Wicked Strong.
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me of Matt Damon in the what's that movie where he's like, "You like apples? How about them apples?" So I like these apples. It's like Wicked Strong. I also like Ride on Curlin. So there you go. Those are we like all these picks. We'll narrow it down. We'll narrow the field down, Leslie.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Leslie. Thank you for joining us again. And we'll be seeing you, and we're looking forward to seeing you in person in a couple of weeks.
I'm looking forward to it also.
we just want to remind everybody that we are having a meetup at Rolex half an hour before the start of cross country at jump number one. We're going to hopefully get, I know Reese from the Dressage Radio Show, Reese Koppler-Stanfield will be there. Jamie, I, and Jennifer will be there. Leslie's going to come down. I think that Samantha from the Eventing Radio Show is going to come over. So we're going to have a whole gang. And I know we've heard from some of our listeners are going to be there, so it should be fun. You know what we're going to do, Leslie?
What
we're going to do? We're going to give Jamie one of those little flags on a stick that says Horse Radio Network on it. And she's going to have to hold it so everybody can find us.
I'll attach it to the stroller.
You put it on the stroller. Yeah. Like one of those bike flags, the orange ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right, guys. Thank you, Leslie.
Sure. Have a great week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Leslie.
HorseNation.com. Well, that was, wasn't that race exciting, though? I'm getting excited for the Kentucky Derby all over again now.
That's awesome. That is the good thing about the end of Rolex means 1 week till the Derby. That's the only good thing about Rolex being over is at least something else is coming up the next weekend. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm a little stressed out about taking a baby on the cross country course by myself. But
well, you know what
can
go wrong?
To hand him off to. So, I mean, I can just make Jennifer hold my baby and she'll hold him. Willingly.
What could go wrong? I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
Don't say that.
And I got to thank Rachel Rosenthal, who heard me on the show here saying that I would love I would love to be behind a harness horse sometime on a track, you know, drive a harness horse. And she wrote in, if I'm ever in the Pittsburgh area, she could get me set up for a harness, behind a harness horse. So,
nice.
So I have to, get out to Pittsburgh sometime to try that.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. Well, there's the little guy now.
Yes, he woke up.
Yeah.
And he's trying to talk into the microphone, and he has a hiccup.
I tell you, he's going to take your job away at some point.
I know. But he doesn't have as entertaining stories about horses yet, so at least I can keep my job for a little while longer. But I know that you guys, and I think Tammy really thought that I would get bucked off this weekend at the horse show, and it didn't happen. So I'm one up on everybody right now.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to admit, you were surprised you didn't get bucked off, too.
Heck yeah! I was like, this is the dumbest idea ever. So we did have a lot of people that commented on the picture on our Facebook page. I posted it and said how he fell asleep at the end gate. I was also with another girl who is an eventer that rides with Barb, and I know her very well, and she was at the jumper show, too, and she's like, who is that horse? I don't recognize that horse. She's known me from the beginning with Jet, and even taking him for the riding lessons at the beginning, and she's like, I've never seen him behave like this. So it was good.
Well, this is your assignment. You train this horse up as a perfect hunter, gentlemen. You sell him for big bucks as a hunter prospect, and then you can buy the Andalusian that Gloria has for sale.
Yeah. Jet and big bucks don't go in the same sentence unless spending on him is involved.
Okay, so that's not going to happen, huh?
No, but I will rehome happily a Spanish horse that needs some eventing training, happily.
Well, don't forget, we're going to be here tomorrow is Endurance Day here at Horses in the Morning. So Karen Chatton will be here. We'll be talking endurance all morning long, and then we'll be back here on Wednesday with the EquityMFG.com Celebrity Trivia Challenge. And so we'll be back for that. If you want to sign up, we had some more people sign up to play Celebrity Trivia. If you'd like to sign up, just head over to our website at horsesinthemorning.com and the big banner right in the middle of the page. And you can get our application just by going to the iOS or Android store. That's how I listened to the show Friday on my way home, actually, was from the app. It's very simple and easy to do. Just search for Horse Radio Network. All of our shows are on there. All 11 of them are on the app.
Yeah.
So you can take a listen anytime you want. You can either stream it or download it to your phone. It works pretty slick. And that's it for today. We'll see you back here on Wednesday, and I'll be back here tomorrow with Jennifer and Karen Chatton for Endurance Day. We'll see you, Jamie.
Just FYI on the whole cat thing. I know you wanted an update on the cat thing. So you know how she told me I need to play with Frank at night to get him tired and feel like he has a job? Yeah, I tried, and he looked at me like I had two heads. He's like, how dare you address me in that manner with like a toy on a string? Who are you kidding? Who do you think you are? And he walked away, put his tail in my face, and moved on, and I didn't see him until 4:15 this morning when he wanted in.
Well, there were other options. I understand the doggy door, that you kind of don't have a door that it would work on, so that'd be an expensive option. But what about putting them to bed or feeding him much later? Now, if we tried that with our cat who eats at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, if we didn't feed him till like 9 o'clock at night, he would scratch our face off. So,
exactly. Frank is lucky to have a bowl. We feed Frank in, like you guys know when you talk about crap in your closet. The food and the litter box are in a closet in my office, the door cracked, because otherwise dogs will eat his food. So he doesn't get a set feeding time, and you want me to set a feeding time for another thing in this house? My God, I got to feed this baby three times a day. The horses get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The dogs, my God, they have to have breakfast, lunch. I have to feed my husband breakfast and then cook him a lunch for him to take to work with him, by God, unless he's working nights, then they have to feed him a dinner. And I cannot feed another freaking mouth at a separate time. I just can't do it. So I thought the play with him option was the easiest. And
I have another solution. It isn't your husband shooting him.
Probably the same one my husband has.
No, it's not him shooting him. No, not a cat shoot. But it is close to that. You just have your husband on the way to work do what everybody else used to do when we had our big farm. You have your husband throw him in the car on the way to work and drop him off at somebody else's farm. That's what everybody used to do to us. But now Frank would find his way home. Frank, it took him 3 months. He'd find his way home, and at 4 in the morning, he'd be knocking on your door. I'm back.
But it would be a glorious 3 months. I love my kitty. I don't want him to go anywhere. I love him, but, oh, my God, I hate him.
And you know what? You've just described the relationship that every cat owner has with their cat. And
all
the
right,
cats want it that way.
Exactly. Have a great day. Stay tuned or kill. Get rid of your cat.
dropped it off in Glenstone.